This week on the Music Biz Weekly podcast, we discuss KISS selling their intellectual property and a little music, but mainly their intellectual property rights for what's being reported in excess of like $300 million. What does that mean to all of us? Why should we all be paying attention to what KISS is doing?
Welcome to the Music Biz Weekly Podcast, founded in 2011 and with over 500 weekly episodes, where Michael Brandvold and Jay Gilbert, two longtime music industry pros, discuss the very latest trends, tools, and tactics that you
Follow
need.
and rate us on Spotify. Subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. We appreciate.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Music Biz Weekly Podcast. You got Mike, you got Jay. Before we get into this week's discussion on a topic that literally dropped all over the news wires this morning, April 4th, as we're recording, a quick shout out to Bruce and everybody at Hypebot and Bands in Town. We thank you so much for your support. And thank you so much to our sponsor, Discmakers.com. As you know, vinyl has been mostly a label product up until now. High prices and tight supply with resulting long lead times have kept many independent artists largely on the sidelines. Yet these independent artists want and actually need to be selling vinyl, but not many of them end up moving forward. Why? Simple, the price and the turnaround times. Most artists don't know how many records they'll sell, so they want to start with the smallest quantity possible to test the waters. And up until recently, 100 vinyl albums at disc makers would cost you nearly $2,000 to press. And that's a lot of money, especially for an independent artist. And it compares quite unfavorably just to the cost of making 100 CDs at disc makers, should cost you 149 bucks. So disc makers decided to rip the band-aid off, and they've launched an entry-level vinyl strategy that's ideal for independent artists with an offer of 100 vinyl records for $1,299. So if you're thinking about doing some vinyl, head over to discmakers.com, check it out, place an order, 100 vinyl records for $1,299. So Jay, the news that literally dropped all over the place, and anybody who's been a listener and a follower of Music Biz Weekly podcast knows you and I are both KISS fans. And at one point or another in our careers, we've worked directly with KISS. So today the news dropped that KISS, well, here, let me just read the headline because I don't want to read the news that's being posted because that's sort of what this discussion is going to lead into. Top House acquires the music catalog, brand name, and IP of legendary rock band KISS. Pop House is the company, and now I'm just adding to this. Pop House is the company over in Sweden that did the ABBA Voyage experience. They are the ones that are behind the KISS Avatar experience. Well, they just announced on their website, and we will put the link to this press release in the show notes. And first statement, I encourage you to read the Pop House press release, not the hundreds of them that are out there floating around in news, because as we're going to discuss, many of those are slightly inaccurate in what they're reporting. There is one very critical line, literally just one sentence in the Pop House press release that first I found. Almost all other news articles omit this line and never paid attention to it. It says, quote, Pop House has acquired KISS's artist share of the master recordings and publishing rights.
That's right.
End. So KISS did not sell their entire music catalog. They
Right.
didn't sell all of their publishing.
Right.
They sold their share of those rights. And what that means is Universal Music still owns the majority of the KISS
The
catalog.
classic catalog.
The classic catalog, up until And again, correct me if I'm wrong here, anybody, but I think they own all of the master recordings up until the last two studio albums Kiss did. Sonic Boom and Monster were licensed to other parties to release. And things like the Off the Soundboard recording, which is under exclusive license to UMG Recordings.
That's right.
So stuff like this and their last two studio albums, that part of the catalog Kiss owned and got sold.
Yeah.
Kiss Alive, the debut album, that's with Universal. Yeah. And as publishing goes, my understanding is back in 1989, Kiss sold the majority of their publishing off. So it's only publishing since 1989 that has been sold here as well. Not publishing related to, again, the debut album, any of that stuff. So
go ahead.
So what I was just going to say is there are countless headlines out there right now. I'm going to just pull up one that I saw from Bloomberg. And the headline says, Kiss sells song catalog to Pop House for more than $300 million. Wrong and wrong.
No.
First, it was not disclosed how much it was sold for. Pop House and Kiss have not disclosed it. That's somebody's estimate. It could be very accurate. We don't know. We're just saying that's not accurate.
It's not been officially reported.
It's not been officially reported. And they did not sell their song catalog.
No,
I can. You probably know better than I do, but I'm sure there's people over in Universal right now going, "Who the fuck do we go talk to get this cleared up?" Because still own the catalog.
You can hear the eyes rolling from here, and don't let facts get in the way of a good story. And you and I were just texting each other like at 5 this morning, basically like, "Did you see this?" And we were sending each other what the perception is and what those headlines are. Oh, Kiss sells their catalog, $300 million, you know, because we've seen Bob Dylan do that. And we've seen Springsteen do that. And we've seen people do that. So it's the easy headline. Oh, they sold their stuff. But the truth of the matter is, you know, Pop House, which let's back up a little bit. That's the same company behind ABBA and their digital avatars. And Kiss was so blown away when they saw that. And that really put into their minds that we could do this Kiss avatar thing. And they have this trust level with Pop House. So as Mike said, just to sort of put an exclamation point on this, Pop House is acquiring some of Kiss's publishing, right? That's the underlying songs, some of their recording royalties, right? And this is what these revenue streams that you refer to is what they get. This is pretty common. You'll see this with Primary Wave. We've seen deals like this before. But the part that a lot of them missed was that it also includes trademarks like the band's logo and the makeup designs. And let's be honest with each other. As much as you and I grew up on this band and we love this band and they have sold millions and millions of records and they continue to stream well, the real money maker over the years has been these iconic logos and makeup in merch and in brand partnerships. I think that, and then looking at those avatars that we've been talking about, maybe you go see, I'm just guessing here, this is just us talking, maybe you go see, like with ABBA, you go see a concert, which is the avatars. You know, maybe there's one that's for a different era. We could go on and on and on, but there's a lot of value in that IP that I think a lot of people are missing by just saying Kiss sells catalog $300 million.
Exactly. They are selling their name, their image, their likeness, their trademarks, the license that they have for all of these products out there. This is something that's not common. Most artists, I mean, we've seen all the headlines. Bob Dylan sells, artist name here, 200 million, 300 million, 150 million. That is usually music only that they're selling.
Because many like of masters, those masters, publishing.
Yeah, exactly. In this case, again, first of all, Kiss never owned, like the vast majority of artists out there, Kiss never owned the master recordings of their catalog. the labels have always owned that, unless at some point in time, an artist bought them back. And we've talked about this in the past. That can be a huge purchase. I mean, I just remember, was it back in the late 80s, maybe early 90s, when Motley Crue bought their catalog back? And at that point in time, it was like $30 million they bought it back for. Now, can you imagine what that what it would be worth now? Yeah. Most artists, and again, if you're in the music business, this isn't news to you, but we do get a lot of people who aren't in the music business listening. When a label pays for the recording of an album, the label owns those recordings.
Yeah, especially in those days. These days, yes. Deals are all over the map. But back all in the 70s, man, you signed with a label, they owned those masters, and they would pay you a royalty once you became recouped. Yep. And one of the other deals that I think is really important to mention is there was a lot of press recently about the Pink Floyd deal, and they wanted $500 million, and it fell apart. And one of the reasons, if you dig into that story, was it didn't include the masters. And as big as Pink Floyd is, and that logo is iconic, and Pink Floyd's one of the greatest rock bands ever, there are very few bands that have the merch power, that logo power of that Rolling Stones tongue or the Kiss logo or that makeup. To me, that's the value of this deal is twofold. On the merch and brand partnership side. And then number two, lesser, but we'll see how this pans out. What happens with the avatars and what Pop House does?
Yeah. So again, the name, image, likeness, the trademarks, the name Kiss, the logo Kiss, the makeup that we all recognize, that's the trademarks to those have all been sold. And that is the big value in this $300 million. And I see a lot of people like trying to compare that $300 million for the Kiss deal to one of these other deals that we've heard about. And it's like, you can't compare them. You're talking about apples and oranges. One is selling music and one is not selling music. The majority of this Kiss deal doesn't include music. It's very few bands, as you said, have that power that Kiss has of recognition of logos. I think the last time I saw something, Kiss has like 3,000, 5,000 product license agreements.
I don't know anybody has anything close to that.
Everything, you know, here I'm sitting here looking at, you know, there's a poker chip that the Palms Casino had. That was a license. You know, there's every piece of Kiss merchandise is a license that somebody took out that earns money back to the artist. Well, Pop House has purchased all of that, and they can now go out and create merchandising, and they can collect the revenue off of all of that.
Yeah, brand partnerships, licensing.
Brand partnerships, exactly. I mean, when a band like Kiss is in the sunset of their career, the reality of new music is pretty slim. But merchandising and keeping a legacy alive, we see that becoming more and more and more popular. Yeah. Throw that band logo on something, and those 65-year-old fans are going to buy that product, even though there's no music related to it.
Yeah. And the only thing I would add to that, Mike, is the part that I think a lot of these articles that I looked at missed is that I don't know exactly which albums, which material that Gene and Paul still control the publishing, but I'm guessing it's a majority of the catalog still on the publishing side, unless, to your point, they've sold off a piece of that. But even if they've sold off a piece of that, they still have revenue coming in on the publishing side. And just so people know, think of publishing as like the blueprint to your house and the master as the house. You know, you can make 100 houses from the blueprint, but there's only one of that original house, right? So I can go record Detroit Rock City, and that's going to generate publishing revenue for the writers, Gene and Paul, you know, on that. And I do think that publishing we call mailbox money. It's one of those things that will pay those dividends quietly year after year after year. And I do think there's some value to that. But I think you're absolutely right. The real value, at least initially, while there's still a fan base that cares, is on that, you know, that name and likeness, all of that. And the last thing I'll say that I, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this, Mike, is I've been reading about how some of these companies like KKR, BMG, Primary Wave, Hypnosis, not necessarily, I'm not pointing a finger at anybody, but like some of these IP companies that are purchasing heritage artists like a Kiss, that some of them that are a little bit older, their fan base is starting to age out. They're either dying off or they're not buying things anymore. And what's really great about bands like Kiss is that my kids going through high school and college, they're wearing Kiss shirts. That they're not aging out. It's one of those, like the Rolling Stones tongue, that's always going to be there.
Yep.
But some of these other bands, because their fan bases are getting older and they're not doing that heavy merch stuff, the value of some of these catalogs may not be what they've invested in it.
Yeah. I mean, again, this is all brand new territory for everybody here. There's, you've got these companies, as you mentioned, and Pop House, they're all investing this money, hundreds of millions of dollars,
yeah,
on the future.
Yeah.
And this has never been done before. And, you know, they think there's going to be value to the songs, the publishing, the catalogs, the trademarks, the IP, the intellectual property. But to your point, if there's not a lot of intellectual property related to an artist, just music, and that band is no longer recording music, no longer touring, and now you're left to, how do you keep music out there? Because then that's the only way you're going to make money, is if that music is used in a commercial, re-records, whatever it might be. You've got to figure out how to keep that music alive, because to your point, will the catalog start trailing off at some point, because there's nothing going on to keep that artist's name fresh and hot and happening? Yeah, and I'm not saying that this is a surefire bet for Kiss, but they are, you know, their image and who they are visually makes them a bit timeless.
Absolutely.
They can live on as cartoon characters. They can live on as avatars forever.
And things we haven't even thought of yet.
Exactly. So if one of those things actually sort of connects and clicks, then you can start seeing value from products related to that. And maybe the catalog or the portion of the publishing and the master's rights that they've acquired has a bit more value now, because there's reason for that music to be used every night in a avatar type performance. Or I guess what I'm saying is, few bands have the ability to live on for eternity because of just who they are. They won't age, even though the original members will age and eventually pass away. The band has something about them that I'm sure was never purposely created. It's just sort of, you know, all these bands that were there kind of fell ass backwards into it, didn't realizing it, allows that name, image, and likeness to live on forever.
Yeah.
Through new properties and new activities being developed.
And I think that's a smart point, because today we're learning from their lessons. Right. And I know you've talked about this for years. Like when they started off, a lot of those bands didn't even think they'd be around 40, 50 years from then. And they certainly didn't know the power of their logo or their intellectual property. And today, as a developing or middle class artist, this is you. This is them taking you to school. Pay attention to this.
Pay attention to what's working.
When you're building your
brand, yes,
make sure you're thinking about the future. Like, is your logo something that's, you know,
have I trademarked my logo? Just that simple thing.
Basics.
Do you own the trademarks?
Yeah.
Don't. And when you sign a contract, make sure you're not signing away the trademarks as part of that contract.
Exactly.
Again, it's funny, because as you bring that up, I literally just before we hit record made a post saying this is an American success story. 50 years ago, four guys in New York City, when they recorded the debut Kiss album, never would have imagined that today they just sold their band for in the area of $300 million.
Unfathomable.
Unfathomable. I mean, no band. Here's a question. Are you in a band and day one of the band, did you sit down and go, okay, how are we going to make this so we last forever and make $300 million 50 years from now? I can almost guarantee you there isn't a single artist out there that was something what was being thought of or discussed.
No, but
they
some
were
of
just
them,
think they were thinking of
right.
the first album and the first show.
That's exactly right. But today, people are using them as a lesson. And I can think of a dozen bands that are doing it. Let's take Ghost. Yes, they're doing makeup, sort of like Kiss. And yes, they have a very theatrical stage show, kind of like Queen and Kiss. But I've never seen a band with more merch offers than Ghost. And they understand that it's that logo, that you become part of this tribe. And there are other artists that are really going down this road of understanding, because of bands like Kiss, understanding that we're more than just a song. If we're doing high quality music and we have a great stage show and we have a brand and a narrative, it's bigger than that. And it can be this big brand. And we're learning that from bands like Kiss.
100%. You know, you might sit here and go, but my band name is just my name. What do I need a logo for? For this exact reason here, if you hit the jackpot and you were able to do this for 50 years, you want a logo. You want consistent imagery. You want consistent branding. You know, people might laugh and joke about, you know, and can see the Kiss logo on everything. Yeah, you can. And guess what? Today, they cashed in big time.
Yeah.
Because somewhere along the line, they were just like, well, let's just put our logo on everything. I want to make sure we always use the right logo. It's the correct logo. Let's make
they were
sure
ahead
it's
of their
registered,
time, though, right?
It's trademarked.
Mean, yeah.
You know, they dotted the I's and crossed all the T's. I mean, they trademarked their makeup back in
early
the 70s.
On. Yeah.
And it took like 10 years for the, and I think the story goes, that's the first time the trademark, U.S. trademark office actually trademarked somebody's face. So, you know, they were just thinking of protection more than anything. They still, even when they were doing that, were probably not, well, we're going to be able to sell this for hundreds of millions of dollars. No. But as you said, Jay, the lesson is being taught right now with Kiss and all these other bands that are selling off their assets at the ends of their careers for a big payday to set their families up so nobody's got to worry about it. You've got to pay attention to what's going on here and the lessons that are being illustrated.
Yeah,
and pay
yeah.
attention to what might not work and what does work. Because again, none of this has been done before.
Yeah.
This is all brand new territory. But holy cow, if you get lucky and are like, I can turn this into a couple hundred million dollars 50 years from now. Wow.
Right. Wow. And I think there's another lesson here, Mike, and that is something that back in the 70s, they just wanted the record deal. They would give away their farm to just get that record deal. Today, we've gone from a business of ownership to access, and it's a different economic time. But the lesson here, I think, is if you can at all avoid it, don't give up the rights to your masters. Don't give up your publishing. You know, don't give up your name and likeness. Hold on to as much of that as possible, because it could be worth a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's why you see more and more deals, as I read on the back of this Universal release, under exclusive license to. That meant
right.
The recordings are still owned by the artist, but for a period of time, according to whatever that license agreement was, Universal has the exclusive license to this. But when that license expires, guess who retains the ownership? the artist retains the ownership of the recording, and you can turn around and license it to somebody else. So, you know, that's, I think that one of the big lessons here is you want to license when at all possible rather than sell away.
Yeah.
You might like the fact that, gee, I could license it, or Universal will give me a chunk of money up front and just buy it from me. But that's, in my opinion, that's sort of short-sighted vision.
Yeah.
That, you know, do you want the money now, or do you want to roll the dice that you can make money in the long term? And if that's what you want to go for, license. Pay for the recording of your own album. Pay for the artwork. Pay for the photography. Pay for all of that. So it's a done package. And then license a finished product to somebody.
Right. And today, these 360 deals, it's just under a different name, where a label will bring you on board and get a piece of your publishing and your merch and your touring and other things. You will be less valuable to them if you sell off stuff before that point. And there's a really great country artist named Claire Dunn. And if you look at her TikTok, she rails against some of these music industry types that have tried to coerce her into signing away parts of her business. And by doing that, you may get a little bit of extra money, you may not, but it makes you less attractive to other players down the road. So the point is, hold on to as much of that as humanly possible. When you get a label deal, as she points out in her TikTok, there are very few label deals today you're going to get, at least with a major, where you're not going to have to give up some of those revenue streams. But you, hopefully by that point, you'll have a good music industry attorney that's going to make sure that, you know, you're fairly treated. But be careful there and try to hold on to as many of those rights as possible.
Exactly. I mean, and keep in mind, back to the KISS deal, the majority of this deal, from what we can see right now, again, this is only one day, so facts may eventually start coming out on this. It's not heavy on the music. This is heavy on the intellectual property. Could you imagine if KISS had somehow retained all of their masters throughout their career, what this deal could have been worth?
It could be $1 billion.
Yeah. Twice as much easily. Easily. If they had held on to their masters and their publishing. So think of it this way. This is how much money they're getting just for a brand, just for logos, just for products. Yeah. That's pretty damn good. And again, the final thing I would add is just be careful reading all these stories, whether it's KISS or anybody else out there. I mean, a lot of these news outlets don't understand the music business at all.
Right.
And they just jump on the bandwagon of like, oh, well, this must be just like Bob Dylan's deal to Bloomberg's case. KISS just sold their song catalog.
Yeah.
No,
Let me add an exclamation point to what you just said. What I've learned from working with a lot of journalists is something you may already know, and that is that the person who writes the headline is not the person who writes the story. And what happens is you read the story and it's very good, but it doesn't always match up because they want to grab you. It's almost like clickbait. They want to grab you into reading that story. So those headlines that you and I read said, KISS sells their catalog. And you're like, oh my God, KISS sold. And I'm getting all these texts. Hey, I heard KISS sold their catalog. No, they didn't sell their catalog. They sold off the publishing that they have rights to, and they sold off the revenue streams that they're getting from Universal, and they sold off this name and likeness and all of this. But let's not get in the way of a good story. You don't always go by that headline because it's not always the same as a story.
Yeah. And I would always say, if you really want to learn what's going on, go back to the original source of the press release. Meaning, I went back to Pop House. I went to Pop House's website and read the press release they posted. That's the information that was sent out to all the media, who took that information and crafted their stories off of it. So the absolute source is going to be the press release from the company who's releasing it, whether it's the artist or whoever is making the purchase. Read their press release. And again, as soon as I went there, there was one line, which I read to you, everybody here earlier, one simple line that cleared up everything. This was KISS's artist's share.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That answers everything to say, no, this isn't the entire music catalog. No, this isn't the entire publishing.
No, but we didn't
But
see that in many stories.
most of the stories omitted that line because they either didn't know, whoever was writing the story didn't know what that meant or how that drastically changes the tone of the story. You know, again, keep in mind, you're reading this on outlets that are not music industry outlets. They're just a reporter who the next story they're posting tomorrow is going to be about Madonna,
right,
or is going to be about Coca-Cola or
right.
whatever.
And where did we go? One of the first places we went was Billboard, because we know that they do the research. They are on those earnings calls. They read the press releases. They have those interviews. So I typically go to a source like Music Business Worldwide or Hypebot or Rolling Stone or Billboard, places that, to your point, they focus on music. You know, if you go to some of these other sites, they're probably going to grab somebody else's story and either comment on it or put a flashy headline in front of it as clickbait.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I had a, I won't mention who, I had a conversation with a rock website this morning where I know one of the editors, and I was like, hey, just FYI, this line is really important. He's like, oh, wow, I didn't even catch that. That's important. Thank you.
Yeah.
Then he went back and re-edited his story to clarify it.
So it may not be nefarious. He just didn't get it right.
They just didn't know what that might have meant, how that changes the whole tone of the story. And then finally, stop getting your information from some fan who's posting it on their social media channel, because those are the last people who have any knowledge
But
of
Mike,
how
I did
this
my
works.
Research. Come on,
Yeah,
Mike, I did my research.
I read Yahoo, and this is what Yahoo said.
It was on
It's
Reddit,
like,
dude.
Dude, I mean, you know, we know a little bit more because we know KISS. We know that KISS has not ever owned their catalog. Universal's always owned it. We also know that Sonic Boom and Monster were outside of the label deal and were licensed back. And, you know, the live recordings they've been releasing are licensed products. We understand that. The average reporter isn't going to have any of that back knowledge, and they're just interested in getting this headline and story out ASAP. So, I mean, either way, this is big news. This is going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because not many bands sell their intellectual property rights, because most bands don't have intellectual property rights that would be worth in the area
like
of
name and
$300 million.
likeness.
Yeah, the you know, I could sit here and go, okay, maybe the AC/DCs of the world, the Led Zeppelins, obviously the Beatles. There's not many bands that have that name and likeness that could be worth into the hundreds of millions of dollars with no
Tupac.
music wrapped
Yeah.
into it.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. Again, this is just day one. It's just hours old.
Yeah, we don't even know if that number is right. That was somebody's
I think that was
probably
Forbes
estimate.
putting an estimate
And
on
maybe
it.
they are right, but we don't know. It wasn't in the press release, and it wasn't in the Billboard article. We'll be watching this really closely, and we'll let you know. But it's just somebody's estimate of what it could be worth. And it may be accurate. We'll see.
Yep. So anyway, that was I thought that was this was a good example for a lot of reasons to talk about today. All right. So leave a comment on Spotify. Not that we can reply, because again, Spotify still doesn't let us reply to comments that you leave. But leave us a comment. What do you think about this? It'll be interesting to see how a sale of just primarily non-music plays out in the future. Does this influence other properties to go down this path? And once again, thank you to Bruce and everybody at Hypebot and Bands in Town. We appreciate all your support. And to our sponsor, Discmakers.com. Thank you so much. And that's it. Music Biz Weekly Podcast. We're out of here.
Industry professionals listen to the Music Biz Weekly Podcast. If you have a product or service and would like to reach this audience, get in touch with Michael or Jay to discuss sponsorship
this
opportunities.
For Music Biz Weekly, provided by LarryDavisVoice.com and by JessicaMarsVoice.com. That's Mars with a Z.